if you start to study Buddhism, you often see a particular term, one is all is one. And also interdependent coordination, which means Buddhist ecology, everything is interconnected and interpenetrated. Those terms, one is all is one. I think in Zen Buddhism, Nirvana is a delusion, delusion is Nirvana. And also non-dualism, those terms lots of those similar terms you can see. But it's very difficult to understand it. Intellectually, probably you understand, but it's very difficult to taste it deeply from with your body and mind in your everyday life. I think this term, generally speaking, one is all is one, means that you shouldn't judge or think or evaluate human beings or your object or whatever it is in terms of a vulgar opinion. Your vulgar opinion means pretty mean opinion, pretty mean. We become pretty easily mean. Do you understand? In other words, during this session I mentioned about painting rice cake never satisfy hunger, mentioned by Dogen. I think this is if you see the rice cake, painted rice cake means a rice cake which is produced by many conditions, flowers, sunlight, etc., waters, human effort. And what you can see, the form of a rice cake produced by many conditions never satisfy hunger, because if you eat one, you cannot stop eating one. You cannot stop eating. So next day, next moment, you want to eat another one. So. And constantly human life is like this, going on. So that is the form of rice cake. What you can see is called painted rice cake. In other words, you can feel through your six senses about your life is painted rice cake. So what is your life? Your life is painted life. And then immediately we say painted life is ridiculous, useless. Produced by the world, produced by the six senses, six objects, and your heredity and the memories and customs, education. So we can produce our life as a painted life. And then we say it is not important. So you try to throw throw them away, and you want to get something which is different, something different. This is a misunderstanding of a human life. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions that painted life, within the painted life, there is something valuable which you cannot ignore. But if you see the painted life, immediately people become very mean. In other words, you judge your life immediately in terms of very vulgar opinion which you have always accumulated for a long time. So immediately you act on it, immediately, without thinking carefully, without thinking profound deeply. We just think automatically, evaluate, judging, and act on it. That is really difficult for us to live in peace and harmony. So I think the Dogen Zenji mentions, if you say painted rice cake is not important, it is a part of the truth. So he doesn't ignore your opinion, but let's see deeply, more deeply, what you mentioned, painted rice cake is not important. So let's see more deeply about it. So if you see the painted rice cake pretty deeply, you can come to see finally a real rice cake. Real rice cake is a rice cake before you paint it. Okay? That means according to, generally speaking, we say the fact or reality. Okay? But that reality is pretty deep. Okay? So we say reality is already, according to our understanding, reality is kind of a painted reality. The real reality is something more than painted reality. So reality, we say, if I say fact is something more than painted fact. Painted fact is a fact produced by your experience. In other words, the fact immediately runs through your six senses. Okay? Immediately. If you see Roger, if I see Roger, immediately I paint it. So Roger is not real Roger I know. Okay? Roger is already painted Roger right after, running through my six senses. So immediately, it automatically goes like this. And then we say, this is reality, this is fact. But I think this is not real fact, real reality. So there are all these two meanings, painted rice cake, and also fact, real reality, real fact. Okay? So all this. Okay, so real fact, real reality is what, according to Buddhist teaching, I think it's impermanence and also emptiness, or plainly speaking, emptiness or impermanence is a continuous change, flow of change. The flow of continuous change, which you never stop even for a moment. The other whole, it becomes very still. But if you come to cross to see it, it's moving. Okay, it's moving. But if you see it at the distance, it's very still. Okay. So there are two: stillness in dynamism, dynamism in stillness. There. So that is called emptiness, we say. And also, emptiness is interdependent coordination, means a flow of continuous activities. Okay? Interrelated, interpenetrated. But as a whole, it's very still, tranquil. Nothing to talk with. It's very still. Nothing to poke your head into it. But if you very close, if you come too close, it's moving. So there is no excuse, you know, to see an objective. You have to participate in. Otherwise, you are left behind. You're left behind means you are always looking at the human life always objectively. That's why you cannot catch up, you know, every day. So that you create, that makes always your life create a big gap. But this is very common for us. So Dogen Denji mentions that if you see the painted life is not important, that is fine. But if, let's see more deeply the that painted life cake, what it is. It is nothing but emptiness or interdependent coordination. I already explained it. If so, well, can't you satisfy hunger by this flow of continuous activity, or so-called emptiness, or interdependent coordination, or by impermanence? Can't you satisfy hunger? Well, in common sense, first answer comes naturally, no. No satisfaction. But if you see, there is a very important point. If you see deeply painted life cake, then you come to the depth of rice cake, which is truly real, okay? Truly fact. At that time, you can see completely dynamic activity, flow of dynamic activity in stillness, extended into every direction of the world. It is called truth itself. You never satisfy by it. But that is the terminal station. Everyone should go there, and then if you reach terminal station, it is not end, it is a beginning. So you can go any place. So that's why if you see painted life cake very deeply, you can see the total reality, which is the flow of continuous practice, continuous activity, very still and dynamism. That is final abode. Then it seems to be a dead end. But that dead end is not usually dead end. From that dead end, something happens. That is new life come up. That is most important. So in the common sense, if you say painted life cake is meaningless, at that time, of course, it never satisfies your hunger. Okay? Let's go deeply to the bottom of a human life. And then first of all, you can have the same feeling. You never satisfy hunger. Then you completely despair. Okay? That despair is not usual. nasty, vulgar opinions. Okay? Because after careful, profound consideration, after going deeply into the human life, and then you can experience this. And then this is called despair as terminal station, but it is not the end, didn't end in the common sense. It is a something wonderful coming up. Then this is called turning a new leaf immediately or slowly, but strictly speaking, immediately. You can turn beyond whether beyond your knowing or not knowing. This is a basic practice for us. So that is then if you let's see the 2 points I have mentioned. Okay, painting landscape is meaningless, but it is all right. It's not wrong. It is not wrong. The Dogen Zenji wants us to say, take care of this, your common sense, more deeply. Okay, don't be nasty. If you see your common sense, don't be mean. Okay? Do not be so mean about your common sense. Please take care of your common sense more deeply. Okay? That's the intention. And then you can see something different than before. That is Buddha's teaching you can see naturally. And then, very naturally, you can see the two points. The painted landscape never satisfies your hunger in terms of common sense and in terms of depth of human existence. So, one idea can be seen from two angles. And then the two angles, the two way of understanding comes together. Anyway, comes together, working together right now, right here. This is true reality, we say. Okay? You can separate it. That is, I say, you should understand human life as a whole. What do you mean? To understand the human life, to judge human life, to educate human life as a whole means don't be so mean. Okay? About your opinion or your life or other's life. Don't judge immediately or don't act on it immediately in a nasty or vulgar way. And then you have to see, what to say, you have to see your life, which is never limited by any idea, your common sense or deep sense, but taken care of by, you know, aliveness of life. In other words, explanation of how to take care of mind in Zazen. Okay? In this book, page 27, title is Kakusoku in Japanese, awareness, which means awareness. But a kaku means awakening, okay. Suk means a touch. Prakak means awareness, means according to Bodhidharma or according to ancestors, kaku is understood as transmission, transmit means something important should be transmitted to somebody or to next generation. In other words, there is something very important you have to transmit it beyond like or dislike. Now, how can you, that is a kaku or transmission, we say, okay? Transmit, kaku is transmission, awareness is transmission, Bodhidharma says. This kind of awareness is pretty difficult to understand it. So how can you experience this awareness? Awareness is a kind of very deep impression between you and I, beyond the word. If you use a word, behind the word, there is something by what you are very impressed. Okay? At that time, something is not a matter of discussing for you, but that something is immediately goes to your heart. And you say, oh, that's it. But if you see this something objectively, you analyze it. In other words, you see that something is something objectified. So I think awareness comes from very deep communication, very deep communication between you and I or you and nature, regardless of whether you use a word or not. Is that clear? When you stand up in wilderness or nature or in such a beautiful day, immediately you feel that you are very impressed with sunny days in winter in Minneapolis, which you never experience in some other place, particularly in this area, okay? This area has a particular wonderful, you know, situation there. If you go far from here, one block, two blocks, different situation there. So it's a wonderful situation. Okay? So immediately, if you stand up here, immediately you can see it. You can see or you can feel. And something goes into your heart. And then you say, wow. The word is not word, before word. Well, how can you express this impression? You say, just wow. So that the awareness is experienced by your very deep impression, regardless of whether you use a word or not. This is awareness, awakening. Is that clear? Not a psychological awakening, no. Psychological awakening is part of the awakening, but that psychological awakening cannot be transmitted from generation to generation because of its changing. So something important must be transmitted. It is. Something important transmitted by you is beyond psychological or empirical experience, awareness. Okay? That is awakening, we say. Okay? For instance, let's go. And soku, kaku, and soku is touch. According to the Buddhist psychology, Abhidharma Kosha, soku is a kind of one pillar by which the whole house is supported, maintained. So, touch, tangibility means your presence by which the whole house is supported. That is a tangibility in the Abhidharma Kosha. In other words, the birth, your birth means that what you can communicate, you can touch the world. Okay? That is your birth. So your birth is not the tangibility limited by your experience, but a tangibility is that what you can experience, but simultaneously the whole world is supported by this tangibility. In other words, whole world is that supported by your birth. That is called tangibility, touch. Is that okay? So, kaku, saku. Well, let's see. I explain the word. Let's read his explanation. Do not concentrate on any particular object or control your thought. It is explaining zazen, when you do zazen. Okay. Yet, when you maintain a proper posture and your breathing settles down, your mind will naturally become tranquil as well. When various thoughts arise in your mind, do not become caught up by them or struggle with them. Neither pursue nor try to escape from them. Just leave them alone, allowing them to come up and go away freely. The most essential thing in doing zazen is to awaken, so-called kakusoku, from distraction, thinking, or downless drowsiness, and return to right posture moment by moment. Okay? Is that all right? Well, do not concentrate on any particular object or control your thought. When you do that, then thoughts coming up, but don't concentrate on any particular object. If we say so, well, immediately you say we are concentrated on the breathing. So breathing is the object, we say. Okay? But that is already something you play with it as a toy. But breathing is exactly not something separate from your body and mind. Breathing is exactly your body and mind. No separations. But if I say concentrate on breathing, breathing is separate by your, consciousness. Is that okay? So, breathing is not something objective. Breathing is your body and mind. Because without breathing, how can you get to consciousness? If your breathing stops, then your consciousness also stops. So, can't you separate from breathing and consciousness, functioning of consciousness? It's impossible to do this. So breathing is not something separated, okay? Objective. So do not concentrate on any particular object and control your thought. So, I think in the first stage you can see the breathing, which seems to be objective. So that's fine. But please go deeply into it. Okay? Don't hate it. Don't be doubt. So if you see the breathing which seems to be objective, fine. But don't be mean, so mean about it. I mentioned before, so let's go deeply. It means through and through you have to concentrate on breathing with your true heart. And then finally you come to reach the depth of concentration where there is no concentration, no thought of concentration. You become one with concentration, which occurs at a moment. Next moment, you miss it. Okay? Probably you can maintain it for a second. If you do it, you are lucky. But actually, in a moment. Okay? So apparently we believe we are always in the conscious world. It's very difficult to touch deeply that moment, which is very pure, it's very quick, it happens and disappears. That's why it's very difficult to taste it. But if you do it, then naturally you are there, okay? So that's why you said do not concentrate on any particular object. Means please see the breathing which seems to be objective, fine. So let's go deeply into it until you come to reach the depth of concentration on breath. Okay? That it means. And that time it is called kakusaku, awareness. Then you say, aha, that's it. This is karaki. You can really feel self very, very closely who the self is, what the self is, very closely. Sometimes you cry through that self. Sometimes you laugh, you become great laughter. Sometimes you cannot say anything. You just be silent. Sometimes tears come down. You don't know why. You don't feel sad, but it's coming down. Tears come forth. That's what you mean, all right? Do not concentrate on any particular object and control your thought, yet when you maintain a proper posture and your breathing settles down, when you maintain proper posture. Posture is very important because the mind is, in common sense, it's very mean, touching always. Working around so much and pretty nasty mind. And particularly when you do that, then you can see such a kind of mind. In Buddhism we say monkey mind. This is a really monkey mind, pretty quick, you know, and the evaluate judging. And that's fine, but the problem is you stumble over by your judgment. Monkey mind. So on and on we can go. So when you maintain a proper posture, so in order to make this kind of monkey mind calm or settle right now, right here, I think we need a certain form. Okay? Form what you can put your mind in it. And then mind becomes straight. Is that clear? Kind of I always say the staying motel on the way to the trip, you know, or during the trip your mind is going anywhere because open space is completely open. So wherever mind goes, That's wonderful. You can enjoy very much on the during travel. Do you understand? But naturally, you cannot keep going. So someday, sometimes you have to stay overnight at the motel. So that time, the mind becomes exhausted. Your body is exhausted. So let's stay, you know. That is a time of station. So stay in the motel. And then mind is still running wild anyway, because mind is very curious. Always curious of something, wherever it is, poking their head into any nook and cranny. Is that clear? So, in order to make it calm, I think we have to put your mind in a certain form. That is a motel. That is a posture. Okay? Is that all right? So in sort of then, there are lots of form. When you do gacho, do this. That you hate it. Karagiri say, gacho is only this way. If you do this gacho, Karagiri say, it's not gacho. So you really hate it. So lots of complaints, grumbling, you know. But you don't understand who you are. That's why you make a complaint. If you know pretty well who you are, you cannot complaining about it. Because no other way. How to make your mind calm? No way. So finally what you have to do is just to put yourself in a certain form. Then it becomes straight. That is a posture. Okay? That's why form is important. Form is important. When you read the book and read the spiritual book, you know, in the monastery, my teacher always mentions, when you read the Shobogendo, you shouldn't read in your bed. You should sit down and by the desk, sitting at the straight posture with the kromo and the rakusu and etc. And then read. One day he asked, oh, did you read to the monks, did you read the Shobogendo? He said, yes, I read. And I read on the way to come to the AH monastery, on the train, he said, I read the Shobogendo one by one on the train, on the way to the AH monastery. He said, he scolded him. Shobogendo is not the book you should read on the train. He didn't understand it. I didn't understand it either. But now I understand it. Because if you read on a train, it is a book which is available for you to read on the train. That's it. When you read a book here with, you know, appropriate posture and mind, it is that book is available exactly for you to read the book. What's the difference? Quite different. If you have a certain posture, immediately, even though you don't know, the world comes up to you. Okay? Naturally. You know, they push the button of a TV set. How can you push the button TV set? You say, I said, please sit down in front of the TV set and gasho and bow and push a button. You say, ridiculous. And then you say, well, why not? Why not push the bottom with your thumb? Thumb means your feet. Thumb of your feet. Because it's wasting time to get up and sit down and gasho, it's wasting time. Because you want to feel relaxed. Do you understand? So whatever type or whatever posture you have, of course it is. You can see the TV. It is a fact that you push a button. Push a button is same for everyone. But a world you create, what you have created, is completely different. Okay? Gassho and push a button. Or lying down and push a button with the thumb of your feet. Or your butt. Whatever it is. Okay? Well, if you don't understand it, test it about this. So that's why posture is important, alright? Form. In other words, form is important. So, when when you maintain proper posture and your breathing settles down, your mind will naturally become tranquil as well. Naturally. So if I sit like this, I cannot sleep, you know. Even though I feel drowsy, if I keep this straight posture, you cannot drowsing for a long time. This straight posture, effort of keeping the right posture, wake you up as soon as possible. Yes, it is. So, when various thoughts are I can sleep pretty well in zazen. But when I sleep, I feel all of it like this, you know, straightly lean forward, tip forward like this. I cannot sleep like this, you know. Somebody sleep pretty well like this. I cannot find whether he's asleep or not. Well, my sleep is very conspicuous, you know. So I cannot make this for a long time. Well, when various thoughts arise in your mind, do not become caught up by them or struggle with them, neither pursue nor try to escape from them. Just leave them alone, allowing them to come up and go away freely. The most essential thing in doing zazen is to katsoku, from distraction and dullness or drowsiness, and return to right posture moment by moment. Means from moment to moment, all you have to do is you must be alive. Food is never be limited by any thought, any perceptions, anything. So moment to moment, you must be alive. Okay. In other words, in the Sandokai, merging of the difference and unity. It says that the whole process must return to source. In other words, before that, the sutra says the eye and form, ear and sound, nose and smell, tongue and taste. Thus, in all things, the leaves spread from the root. That means everything is each single being is independent completely. On the basis of root, okay? On the basis of universe, tree is independent, exactly. Okay? That's amazing. So, six senses, six organs, and six objects, sense all objects. Each single consciousness, each single sense organs, completely is independent on the basis of universe. So that is it says the leaves spread from the root. And then next he says the whole process must be turned to sauce. All process originally is called hummasu, who means root and root and leaf. Beginning and end, kind of like this. Beginning and end, root and leaf, something like that. So, but here says the whole process means that it, if you want to see the tree, real tree shouldn't be limited by any perceptions, any concept, any ideas. You should accept it, tree as realiveness. In order to do this, what do you mean? In order to do this, you have to really go deeply into the tree again and again. Okay? Well, what do you mean the aliveness of a tree? Means leaves, stems, branches, root, and soil, all things should go to the source. At that time, what does it mean? It means aliveness. All things goes to the source means aliveness. Okay? You should see the trees as a lively being, which is never limited by any senses, any concept. But if you see the tree, immediately you see it is limited. If you see this winters, everyone, it is completely limited by everyone's, okay? But beyond your senses, anywhere winter is winter in Minneapolis. Someone loves very much, someone hates it. But whatever you feel, winter is winter. What you mean? Beyond winter is winter beyond your senses or perception or idea. What do you mean? It is winter as a lively being. Exactly. Just like your life. That is called one is all is one. One is all is one. Experience, how can you experience this one is all, truth of one is all is one? That is katsoku, zazen. Through the zazen, you can do it. But if you look at the human world, I mentioned last Saturday, everyone is exists in this world as a science, as a biology, as a sociology, as a philosophy, and as a psychology and the physics, etc. But it is each of them is independent, but it's too much independent. In other words, sociology is too much sociological. Too much sociological means it's very narrow, separate from psychology, philosophy, etc. But if you want to know real meaning of sociology and also philosophy, psychology, all should return to the source. And then see sociology as a lively being, available for human beings and also trees, birds, etc. That's pretty difficult point because what you have never heard of it. But this is very important for us. Science, physics is too much physics, you know. Any kind of science is too much scientific. Technology is too much technological. Religion is too much religious. At that time, religion is very narrow. Because too much religious is completely separate from root and ears and the skies and the other human beings. Completely, all this kind of octopus. Do you know the characteristic of octopus? If you want to touch the octopus, it's very simple. You put the pot, you know, on a rope, many pot on a rope tied up, and they go to the bottom of the ocean, and then the octopus, it naturally goes into them. And then the fishermen, you know, take it up, you know. When the pot starts to move, it just becomes rigid and stay with the pot, inside of the pot, instead of escape, instead of the be free. The more pot is moving, the more octopus becomes rigid and stay hard inside. That is what I mentioned. Octopus is too much octopus. Karagiri becomes too much karagiri. At that time, karagiri cannot be free. Do you understand that one? Look at the religions, or whatever it is. If you believe Dogen, you really attached to Dogen. So people say you are crazy about Dogen. Yes, it is. So too much Dogen. But I don't miss too much Dogen. So what you have to do is to see your life as a lively being, anyway, lively being. But in order to maintain your life as a lively being, well, you have to read, you know, Dogens and the Buddhist scriptures and itself, because your life cannot be the far from or separate from the teachings and Dogens and the ancestors, etc. So you must be free from Dogens and the religions and existing religions, etc. But you cannot be ignored. You cannot be free. You cannot be separated from. So you must be studied, but you shouldn't be caught by. But usually, if you study anything, you become too much. So science becomes too much scientific, technology becomes too much technology. So there is no interdependent coordination, no communication, total communication. But idealistically, we know the world is nothing but a huge lump of ecology, okay? Intercommunications. But actually, if you take care of your life, we don't know how to take care of it. So, if you want, that is called professional, okay? If you want to professional as anyway physicist or biologist, you must understand biology, physics as a lively being, okay? Which means physics should be contacted, communicated pretty deeply with other sciences. Then you should understand it, something as lively being. At that time, you become professional as physicist or biologist. That is called profession. If you want to be a professional painter, you have to take care of painting like this. Otherwise, you cannot be professional. But people say, I am professional, but a pre-faked professional. Very narrow. Another one, faked means not a good term, but I think too much professional. Too much. Real professional must be free from concept of profession. Because you have to understand the whole world. That is the meaning of one is all, all is one. You don't understand this one. But this is very important for us, very important teaching for us. Generation after generation, for everyone, available for everyone. Okay? So, if you want to practice and experience it, this is called Katsukai Mansion, this one. Okay? That's why Skantaza, this sitting, is very important for us. Okay, do you have a question? This book is a pretty interesting book, Skantaza. Maybe. Well, you can read it. Do you have a question?
In the sign of the dual mirror awareness, I think we say, you are not it, it actually is you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about vulgar and mean spiritedness,
mm-hmm.
That would be saying, I am it, I am the floor. And when we're practicing compassion, we say, the floor is I, mm-hmm. I want to take care of it. Is that it?
Floor is I, yes it is, but I think you shouldn't find I in the floor, no. Okay?
Right.
If you say floor is I, you try to find I in the floor. No, it doesn't mean that. But theologically it is true, yes, important. But practically, if you try to practice that theory, you immediately try to find the I in the floor. You understand?
Yeah.
If you want to know the God and the Buddha and say, then you say, Rose, I is in God or Buddha. Buddha is in you, something like that. But that is still dualistic. So, not dualistic, but I think this is the word to say. Being accord with. Is that one? Being one. That is aliveness. So there is no separation floor and you. So if you look at you, that's it. Okay? But how can you take care of you? So you have to take care of you, not in terms of your senses. But in terms, you should take care of you on the basis of the teaching discipline of the universe, okay? And the discipline principle of the universe. Okay? And then at that time, don't be compared with somebody else. You should stand up in the universe. And then you can take care of with wholeheartedness. That's practical way. But if you explain it, it's not you, just like a scripture you mentioned. Part of the awareness. Psychological awareness is part of the awareness. So that's why I say let's go more deeply into that psychological awareness. Okay? That's why the Bodhidharma says awareness, awakening is transmission. Transmission or to transmit from generation to generation.
Awareness.
Yeah, it becomes objective.
But it's subjective also.
Sure, that's true.
Forget this. I don't know where I'm going.
You're talking about transmission of awareness. And the Zen traditions, they're talking about transmission and make it sound like something special to the teacher and student.
Mm.
And,
no. According to the term, that's we understand in that way, but actually not. Transmission, real transmission is something, you know. I don't have anything to give you. No. Because if I try to give you anything, it is mine, not yours.
So once they put out a magazine, story about a person, this teacher, and they're planning to plant a tree. And the teacher said, after the student seemed to show pretty good, then he said, when I transmit it, but like the student seemed to be perfect already, but the teacher still said, when, because you're so good, when I transmit, what does that mean? It sounds different.
Well, would you say the whole story?
In the library.
Ah, uh-huh, that's funny. That means I mentioned this morning that if you go to the depths of existence at the terminal station, okay, that is the depth of ground. Finally, whatever he says, why do you plant the pine trees here? He says, some reason. Okay. Then the teacher says, why did you get the blows, the 30 blows in the past by me? The teacher says. And also, do you want to practice from them? Do you want to have blows more in the future too? You know, something. It means, why did you have a practice under the guidance of me in the past? If planted pine tree is very important as just a depth ground, means let's go deeper, depth of existence, where no expectation there. At that time, what do you do? All you can do is just pick the hole and back the ground. And then that is a terminal station everyone has to reach. And then from that terminal station, new life coming up. That is what is called you will be. You will be a good teacher. You will go somewhere. New life coming up. So it's time there. Time, past, present, future there. At that time, the time, past, present, future are not limited by usual common sense, okay? Usual sense. But in terms of the depth of existence, which is exactly one with that terminal station. Okay, that's the time and space at the past, present, future. But with you already overthinking time, past, present, future is complete separate from that depth of existence. That is a, not only you, that is a little difficult point to understand for us. It's very difficult to understand the oneness, you know, the dualistic world and also non-dualistic world. Or the worldly affair and also spiritual life, something like that. Very difficult to understand, but it's all right. But practically, we can do it. That's why practically, Lin Chi show demonstrated that it's a pick a hole and dug it. And then, within that place, there is a world coming up that is a future, and also present, and also past. That's why he said that's why the reason he mentioned A will be important for him and for the people, because tree will grow, we hope. Okay? But according to the dualistic sense, we don't know what will happen. So we cannot depend on. But even though in the human dualistic world is constantly impermanent, we cannot take a nap always. No, we have to do something always. You know. So how can you take care of our behaviors, our lives, depending on the impermanence, or depending on the depth of existence? So let's see the depth of existence and stand at that place and then do something. That's stories. Okay. That's why it says if we are understanding of the dualistic or worldly affair, that means worldly affair is meaningless. I mentioned this time. Psychological awareness doesn't mean it is useless. Okay? It's important, because without this awareness, we cannot understand what awareness means. But the important point is, don't be so mean about that psychological awareness. In other words, don't be crazy about psychological awareness only. So let's go deep into it and see psychological awareness from the different angles. So that's all that is so called awareness should be taken care of as a lively being. Okay.
I was wondering whether he was expressing your point about don't be too sociological or sociologic.
What did he say?
He said this place has the stink of Zen.
Stink of Zen.
In America, we say don't take yourself too seriously.
Yes, in a sense, it's stink of Zen.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of attaching to the impermanent form rather than the deeper.
Yeah. But I think you cannot, and also you cannot ignore, you cannot escape from a stink of Zen. Because without stink of Zen, how can you know beyond Zen? You know, they think of the biologists, think of sociology. Too much sociology, too much psychologist, too much philosophy, too much religion. How can you know the religion? Because too much religion is means of culture we have created. Don't you think so? And then we are really excited by not too much religion because it's lots of fun there. They don't want to escape, they don't want to throw it away. Because they are very afraid to be alone. So that's why they try to depend on but and making them more excited. There is a culture, you know. So that's why it stinks of them, but you cannot ignore it. So that's why I say, Dogen Zenji also says, that it's not fine, that it's not okay, that it's not wrong. The important point is, let's go deep, more deeply, what it is. That is our practice. How can you go deeper? That is taking care of day-to-day as lively beings. And that is the best way to go deep into it.